beans.
No.
Beans.
No. No.
Okay, let's all stand on our feet, starting in verse 12.
First Peter chapter 4.
Right there.
First Peter chapter 4.
Okay, verse 12. Beloved, do not drink the thing anymore. Just gotta get all the tongue twisters out. Okay, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege to come together in the midst of our week and just meet with you and meet with one another and grow deeper in you together. We pray that you would speak to us clearly. Show us exactly this message that Peter has for us, that you gave Peter to give to us in this time and to give to other people at different times. We pray that we would grow in it, that we would understand it. Give us understanding that's above our own so that we can apply it to our lives and grow deeper in it. Please speak through me so that we can grow in you together. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Grab a seat, y'all. So, all throughout this letter, Peter has been talking to us about the reality of Christian living. I was just talking to Liz. She said she's a realist. And Peter is a realist, which is really cool. Do you guys know what a realist is?
No.
Liz knows what a realist is. So a realist is someone, it's like, I think it started as like a writing form, and then it became an art, like painting and all that. Realism is when they describe something or paint something just as it is. So it's just like, life happens, and then it ends. That's like realism. It's like, I really don't like realism because it's boring, I think, and sad. But Liz doesn't think that. She's a realist, so she connects with it. But Peter also is a realist, and he describes the walk of Christians realistically, where we are and how to live right where we are differently. And in our passage today, we're coming back to the topic of trials. Now, earlier in this letter, in chapter 1, like a few verses into it, we already looked at trials and some of the reasons that we go through trials. We spent time, we looked at the teaching called Fuego for Your Faith. You guys remember that? Yeah, and I had to like translate that, fire for your faith. And we saw that trials defined, the definition of trials, is a difficult situation that God allows Christians to go through in order to further develop their faith. So a trial, it can be a stressful year at school. Ugh, who likes those? Somebody somewhere does. They're like, oh yeah, bring on the pressure. But not me. Getting picked on or bullied, that can be a trial. Persecution for your faith. It can be financial troubles in your family. It can be division in your family, just people in your family unable to get along. It can be depression, inward depression, anxiety. It can be natural disasters. It can be the loss of a loved one, and it can be so much more. And God allows us, we saw in Fuego for Your Faith, he allows us to go through trials to show us weaknesses in our faith. So he does it to test us, but not so he can be like, oh, wow, look at that. But so you can be like, oh wow, look at that. When I go through this, my faith is weak. Like, I see this emotion, like, exposed in my life, and there's no faith there. And so we're able to realize it and then strengthen it in our lives. Now, today, Peter, he shifts our attention within trials, specifically onto the suffering that is found within a trial. And he tells us a few things about it. You can grab that if you want. I'm not going to like, oh, dude, what are you doing? Getting up. Just kidding. Yeah. So he tells us a few things specifically about suffering within trials. So we've spent time looking at trials. Now we're going to focus in on suffering within trials, the suffering. And he tells us that it's better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil in verse 15 through 16. And this is a concept that on Sunday we unpacked really deeply, and we really just examined what it means and how to apply that idea to our lives. So unfortunately, I'm not going to explain fully what that means. If you're interested, when I post the teaching online, you can go back and listen to it. But what you need to take from it is that it is better to suffer for doing good, for following God in your faith, for stepping out where God calls you and not doing the evil that God has called us as Christians not to engage in. It's better to suffer for that than to suffer for doing evil, than to suffer for doing something like murder, stealing. Another thing that Peter lists, to suffer for being someone who's nosy and all up in everybody's business. And those people suffer, the drama queens and the, like, nosy posies. I don't know what you would call them. Nosy people. I don't know what that means. I'm so confused. So he also tells us, Peter tells us, that suffering, it's a form of early judgment that Christians go through here on earth. Now, this judgment, it's not a final judgment where, like, after you take a test, your teacher goes, oh, you missed that, you got this, you missed that, you got this, and then you go, oh, no, bummer. No, this is basically a benchmark. Something that, like, as you're going through the school year, your teacher says, oh, you're, like, kind of falling behind here. Make sure you pick it up. So you are being judged on your performance, but it's not a final judgment where you look and say, that's what I did and that's what it is. It's a benchmark. It's a current judgment of your performance, so you know where you need to pick things up and what to improve on as you continue living the Christian life here on earth. Now, lastly, Peter tells us in verse 17 through 18 that while every human does indeed go through suffering, every human, suffering is universal. And becoming a Christian doesn't make you immune to suffering on earth. It makes you immune to eternal suffering, but not to suffering here on earth. So for us as Christians, our time here on earth is where our suffering ends. And this is important to understand, because though we do continue in suffering as Christians on earth, this is the end of our suffering. Now, for those who are not saved, who do not, as Peter words it, who do not obey the gospel of God, who do not accept the good news of Christ, their suffering begins here on earth. And this is just the start. And we know from other parts of Scripture that what's in store for them is hell and eternal separation from God. And that is punishment for their sins and the sin of living a life denying Christ. Now, even when we have proper biblical understanding of the truth behind suffering, it can still sneak up on us when we least expect it. And then we're like, oh no, suffering has flipped my life upside down and I don't know what to do about it. Like, suffering can be one of those things that we understand on paper, or we understand in theory what, like, the biblical reasoning behind it is, why God allows it and why it happens, but in practice, it's such a different story. It reminds me of my first CrossFit workout, because CrossFit, what it's like, what they call it, is it's constantly varied functional movements at high intensity. So my first CrossFit workout was like, I think it was like 10 push-ups and 10 pull-ups for like 10 minutes. So you did that as many times as you could in 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, piece of cake, push-up, shmush-up. I do that all the time. Pull-up, I can pull my body weight up. And so I went crazy. I was like, oh, piece of cake, come on, I'm a lightweight. These are all gonna like be piece of cake for me because I am a lightweight, like I'm light for my weight and stuff. And I went crazy on this workout. And like halfway through, so 5 minutes into it, I was dead. I was like, oh no, I can't anymore. And so I ended up doing like these pull-ups where you just like lean against a bar and you pull your weight up. Like, they're kind of like grainy pull-ups, I call them. But so that's what it was like. But then I was like, oh, that was pretty good performance. And then as soon as the time was done, I collapsed and like crawled to the exit. And then I had to turn around because I had to throw up. Like, I died. And I thought it was so easy. Push-ups, pull-ups, piece of cake. But it's that high intensity that we don't account for. And we don't realize what it's like until we're in that intensity going through it. So in our passage today, Peter's going to show us two feelings that we can commonly have in the face of suffering that are wrong. So these are common feelings that we experience when suffering comes our way, but they're wrong for us to have. And then Peter's going to show us one feeling that we should have in the face of suffering. One feeling that is good that we should have. So here are the two that are wrong. The two that are wrong are surprise, the feeling of surprise, and then the feeling of being strange. Surprise and strange. The feeling of being surprised. Oh, wow, it's my birthday, I forgot. And the feeling of being strange. It's like, why are people surprised at surprise birthdays? Oh, dude, I forgot! That's crazy! Really? I feel like, because everybody wants a party on their birthday. Nah. Was that Jose? Who was that? Was that Jake? Nah. Okay. All right. Okay, so surprise and the feeling of being strange are the two feelings that we commonly face that are wrong. And then Peter shows us one that we should feel in the midst of suffering, and that is privilege. The feeling of privilege. 'Tis a privilege. 'Tis a privilege to serve along your side. It's like the famous last words of every butler. 'Twas a privilege to serve you, Master Bruce. What's his name? Alfred? Okay. So, the first common feeling that comes upon us when we go through suffering is surprise. Verse 12 in the NLT says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through." Peter knows the human race so well. He's a realist, so he's not painting humans in these ways that they aren't. He's like, here's what humans are. And the reason I know humans are this way is because I, Peter, I am that way. And Peter says, our first reaction when suffering comes our way is to be shocked. Oh no, suffering. We're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm going through this on the first week of school too. Really? This is happening to me? I haven't even done anything wrong, and yet I'm still going through this. Peter tells us, don't be surprised when we suffer for bearing the name of Jesus. And here's why. The logic is very simple, but here's why we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer for bearing the name of Jesus. First, because Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, but he suffered. Jesus lived a perfect life and had no human reason to suffer, but he did. He suffered. Now, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we bear his name as Christians. Not only do we bear his name, but we are told that Jesus enters our heart and lives with us. So if Jesus suffered living a perfect life, why wouldn't we, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, expect to suffer? So that is why Peter says, first, don't be surprised when suffering comes your way. Don't be surprised. That's our tendency. Oh no, my world is crashing down around me and this is happening right now. Really? Are you serious? I don't even deserve this. And Peter says first, don't be surprised when suffering comes your way. Second, Peter goes on in verse 12. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through as if something strange were happening to you." The second feeling that Peter tells us is wrong is the feeling that we are strange because of the suffering that we are going through. This is such a common feeling that I would argue everybody has experienced. But we're unaware of it, and I think the reason that we're unaware of it so often is because so many people experience. It's the feeling that the suffering we are going through is weird. So it's, my family's so dysfunctional, and like nobody else's family is like this. Everybody else's family, they're like a perfect postcard. Cheese! But my family, we can't even take a picture. Like, we're just always crazy. Or it's, school comes so naturally to everyone around me, but here I am, trying as hard as I can, doing the best that I can, and I'm barely scraping by. It can be flipping through Instagram and seeing all the fun that everyone is having, and then you look at your life and you're like, my life is so boring and lame. Everyone's like, oh wow, I hiked a mountain, and now I'm at the Empire State Building, and I'm just here. You went there?
Yeah,
I went there about like 3 weeks ago. Look at what you do to us, Sarah. You're destroying us on the inside. But here's what it can also be. It can be thinking that you're the only one that deals with depression, or that you're the only one who gets stressed out, and that because of that, that you're weird. Because everyone around you, when they show up somewhere, they're happy, they look excited, they're like running up walls and like, what in the world? Where's that come from? And like, you on the inside, you're like, no one feels the way I do. No one's stressed out. No one didn't want to come here today except me. And I think 21 Pilots put it so well in their song, Migraine. Did you say, eh, ah, gross. But here's what they said. Am I the only one I know waging my wars behind my face and above my throat? And in that song, Migraine, he's not talking about having a headache. I think some people think that. But no, he's singing about the mental battle that he experiences on like a daily basis. On some days of the week, he's good. And then on other days of the week, it's like the lowest of the low. And he asks, am I the only one I know waging my wars behind my face and above my throat? Am I the only one with that battle in my head? And no, he's not the only one. Everybody, this is something that everybody experiences. Maybe on different levels. Some people, they're anxious. Other people, they're more like depressed, and they're more like sad, and they're more like, oh. Other people, they get stressed out over the smallest things. Like, they're not leaving school, like, the precise time, and they're like, Mom, what are you doing? Don't you know I have a reputation? But here's how this feeling displays itself. And here's how I know that everybody in the world struggles with it. The way this feeling of being strange for your suffering displays itself is we hide our suffering. And none of you have ever done that, right? No, of course. We've all hid our suffering. Because we look and say, oh no, I'm processing the world in this like bleak and sad manner. I'm weird for that. I'm strange. No one else is doing that. Oh no, I get uncomfortable when I have to go and talk to people and it makes me like sweat and freak out and I don't want to do it. No, so many people experience that. But the first thing we think is, I can't tell anybody. They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm different. They think life is perfect and like everything is butterflies and sunshine. And when they hear this from me, it's gonna like blow their mind. Shh, guys, shh. But the truth is, and what we need to understand, is that many of us are actually dealing with the very similar waves of suffering that people around us are dealing with. Suffering is not like, obviously people, they go through it different ways and it happens in different seasons and different times. But suffering and pain mentally and externally and internally, it's very common. And it's very normal. Because this world, because of sin, a result of sin is suffering. And sin is everywhere. And so we can assume that the result of sin, which is suffering, is everywhere. And so the first feeling that is wrong when suffering comes our way is surprise. Oh no, I can't believe this is happening to me at this time. Oh man, what have I even done? No, don't be surprised. Jesus suffered and he lived a perfect life. But then being the feeling that you're strange, that because your family is dysfunctional, that you're weird, or that because you think of the world in this way and you have these feelings about yourself and people around you, that you're weird and that if you ever tell someone, you're gonna creep them out. No, you're not. What they're gonna realize is, oh, whoa, you feel the same way? Whoa, I felt that way too. Or, whoa, I'm feeling that way right now. Or, oh, my sister feels that way. Like, it's so common. And suffering, though it's not something that's always happening to people all the time, it does come in waves, and those waves are very similar in the lives of people. Now, Peter tells us the feeling that we should have when suffering comes as Christians, the suffering that we face as Christians, how should we feel about it? And Peter says, privileged. In verse 13, he says, this is like the most ecstatic verse I've ever heard. He says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So Peter tells us, rejoice, be glad, and exceedingly joyful, all in one little verse. That's a lot of like happy words. It's like, wow, this should be in a children's book, but maybe like without the suffering part, wipe that out. But just, it's so happy. And the reason why is because we should view it as a privilege to suffer not only for Jesus, but with Jesus. In Acts 5, we're told that Peter viewed it as a privilege. And this is what it says in the verse. He viewed it as a privilege that God counted them worthy, the apostles, that God counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. That was a privilege to Peter. And Peter tells us that when the glory of Jesus is revealed to us, we will be glad that we were able to suffer for him. We will be glad when the glory of Jesus is revealed to us, whether that's you going to heaven or you being raptured, well, that's the same thing. Whether that's you dying and going to heaven or you being raptured and going to heaven, Peter tells us, when the glory of Jesus is revealed to us, we will be glad that we were able to suffer for him. Then you can't help but conclude, if that's what Peter says, that if we will be glad to be able to suffer for Jesus, you can't help but conclude that if we avoid suffering, thinking that it's surprising or that it's strange, that we're going to be weird if we suffer, so let's avoid it at all costs, that when the glory of Jesus is revealed to those who avoid suffering, that they will feel shame and that they will feel regret, that they avoided the suffering that Jesus, in his full glory and full power, endured for you, for us, for everyone in the world that would receive his gift of salvation. So Peter's encouragement to us is to view suffering for Christ as a privilege, because Jesus went through it, and Jesus is glorious. Jesus is mighty. Jesus is powerful. And he tells us when we encounter Jesus face to face as a mighty lion ready to conquer, we are going to be glad with exceeding joy that we were able to suffer for Jesus. Now in verse 19, Peter closes the chapter for us, and he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So the main conclusion of all of this is when suffering comes your way, don't give up. Don't give up on reading your Bible. Don't give up on coming to church. Don't give up on tuning into a sermon and trying to get as much as you can from it, even though like your brain is fried from school and you're like, oh dude, the brain sizzle. Don't give up. Don't give up battling against sin, even though suffering comes your way. Peter says, battle harder, because Jesus is worth it. Jesus was tempted, and Jesus endured. Jesus was tempted. He endured the temptation, not giving into it. But what did he have to go through? He suffered for us. Now here we are bearing the name of Jesus, imperfect. And who are we to think that suffering is strange? To think that suffering is something that we shouldn't go through as Christians? Bearing the name of Jesus, we should view it as a privilege to enter into the suffering that he endured for us. To not only suffer for Jesus, which is a privilege, but to suffer with him. Let's pray. And then we're going to break into organic small groups. So what that means is, instead of like...